Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right. Howdy. What's up, guys? How are you guys all doing tonight?
Howdy, howdy.
Nice, nice. Oh, man. Well,
welcome to camp.
Yeah, welcome. I know you've already heard that, but we're excited to be here. I hope you guys are, too. So you're probably wondering a couple things right now. One, who are these guys standing up here in front of you? Well, my name's Levi. It's nice to see you guys. Yep.
And I'm Hudson. And we hail from Morton. Anybody hail from Morton?
Yeah. All right, anybody from anywhere other than Morton? Yeah. All right. Sounds about split.
So about even, half and half.
Yeah. Okay.
Pretty good Morton representation.
So we thought it'd be fun to start off the week by telling you guys a little bit about ourselves. So you get to know us a little bit, and then throughout the week we'll get
Levi's
to know
you. Levi's disabled.
Okay.
Let's hear the...
So I'll get this speech... Hey, Jude. So in case you're wondering... Yes, I am technically physically disabled. It all started when I was very young, all right? So when I was born with two normal arms.
Were you born at a young age?
I was born at a very young age. And so here's the thing. I was born, and the doctor looked at my arms, and he's like, that's not right. And that's exactly what you want to hear as a parent who just had a child of, that's not right. And so turns out that in your forearm, if you all hold out your arms like this, you have two bones in your forearm. You have your radius and your ulna. And can everybody just do this? See, you
like you're
all
doing the Macarena.
Like the Macarena. You are all much more talented than me. So my radius and ulna in my left arm are fused together, which means I cannot do this.
Do the Macarena. Please.
I can't. I'm
just
holding,
do the Macarena.
I'm
please.
Holding a microphone. It's like one. I'm
you
holding
can't.
A microphone. I can't. But some people think I'm kidding about it. I'm not kidding. I actually can't turn my arm over. Hold the microphone. So, relaxed.
He can't do it.
It won't go. It just won't go. If you
want
to try, I say you are. I'll just hold my arm limp. If you want to try to turn it over, go for it. If you break it, maybe I can go get it fixed. So.
And you can pay for it.
There you go. Now you know a little fun fact about me. So now we're going to move in. Instead of just telling you more facts, because that's kind of boring, we decided we're going to play a little game, all right?
Who
we're
going to
play
games?
A little game. So this game is called Who's Who, all right? So up on the screen.
Who's Who?
We will show a number of pictures with a number of questions. So we'll go to the first question just to give you an example. Up there, you have two dashing young fellows up there.
I'm on the left side.
And then if you'll notice the question at the top, I'll get out of your way. It is up to you to decide whether that answer is true or false. So, show of hands, who thinks we are related? Okay, there's a few of you.
Are you sure? Hold up. Let's stand next to each other. Wait. Back of the head. Are we related?
Are we related? Who says yes?
All right, who says no?
Well, congratulations.
Drumroll, please.
We are not related.
Not even close.
We checked,
but
not even third cousins.
Levi is related to someone in the room.
I am.
Does anyone know who that is?
Haley, stand up.
Haley!
It's Haley! That's my sister. So, we
That's
are not
Levi's
related.
Sister. All right, let's get the next
but
question
there's
up there.
Some other things that you should know about us.
So, which one of our dads has a beard?
Who thinks that my dad has a beard? They see it. All right, who thinks Hudson's dad?
Wow, are they?
I thought this was going to be more difficult than that.
Well, let's get a picture of your dad up on the screen.
Let's put on a picture. This is my dad.
Hey, Mr. Detloff.
This is a selfie that he put in our family group chat. He does not know I'm showing all of you.
Looks like a thumb.
A little bit.
Let's get a picture of my dad up there. Mr. Roseboom! All right, that was good. His blue eyes. So, let's get the next one up there.
Next question. Which one of us is a middle child? Yeah, you do
look
like it.
I look more like a middle child.
I agree. Ooh. He looks like it. You just
because he's got
that.
A younger sister.
I do have
so
a sister.
So does that make me?
But am I the oldest?
Who thinks I'm the middle child? You think I'm the youngest? Okay, we got a youngest. Who thinks he's
the middle
child?
Oh.
Ooh. And the answer is,
wow.
I am the oldest child.
He's the oldest
That's
child.
That's the oldest child. So this is my family. Father, mother, Lydia, Elijah, and Esther. Elijah's the best.
And then I am the middle child. So,
yeah.
As you guys already know, Haley is my younger sister. And then we have two older siblings. No. My brother-in-law is very tall. My brother is shorter than me. He's not happy about it. But so we have my sister Hannah and her husband Jordan. And then on the other side behind Haley, my brother Luke and his wife Grace. And then my parents right there. And we also have the newest addition to our family, little Ellie.
Aww.
Yeah, that's my sister's daughter. And so the first niece of the family. I had to give her own slide. So
yeah, she's special. She all right, let's get the next question. Which one of us is engaged?
To be wed. Keep your hands behind your back.
Well, I mean, guys don't normally wear the ring.
Neither of us would have a ring at this point.
So who has Levi on this one?
Wow, that is sad.
I'm just saying.
What is it about
I'm
me?
Just saying. Who thinks I am engaged?
No. It's because it's. I don't know. Oh, thanks, Haley. Thanks.
Let's see.
It is
me.
Hudson. It is. I'm a little offended.
To be married.
I'm a little offended.
I'm sorry. You have the beard.
I have the beard.
I
maybe
have a
that's
fiance.
Why I'm not engaged. It's the beard.
All right. Next question. Which one of us has been to the emergency room more times?
All right. I already see guesses, so I don't know what you're basing that off of, but maybe it's the fact that I already shared
the
medical
answer
story.
Is that Hudson has been to the emergency room zero times.
Zero times, and I
Let's
have been
Let's see
there
some pictures.
A few more. So I've been to the emergency room 11 or 12 times. So you know how growing up, did you guys collect things? Yeah, so, like, what are some things you guys collected? Just shout them out.
Legos,
yeah,
coins.
Yeah, so I had a slightly...
Hot Wheels cars.
I had a slightly different collection growing up. I had a collection of casts. So I broke so many bones that I have a box with all my old casts that I really need to throw away now that I'm saying it out loud.
I'd like to point out the middle picture. Can we see, like, T-ball with a cast?
Pretty
why bald. Are you wearing sandals?
Because my arm's broken. I'm not going to run that fast. But yeah, so I've been
Let's
there a
Let's get the
lot
next question up here.
For a number of different reasons.
Who's been to 12-plus countries? Someone couldn't remember.
Yes. This is a lot of countries. All right, who thinks it's Hudson?
Do you know what's on my shirt in the picture?
Shh. Who thinks it's Levi before Hudson gives it away? Yeah, you already gave
Who
it away.
Who thinks it's me?
Well, now more people.
Well, the answer is me. I only have one picture. That's my grandfather, and I'm on the right side there. Oh, wait. Yeah, it's the right and the left.
There you go.
I actually grew up as a missionary kid, and I lived in both Albania and Malaysia, so in Europe and Asia. And while we were in both of those countries, we had the opportunity to visit a variety of other countries around. So I've been to countries like Greece or Singapore or Thailand. So ask me about it sometime. Maybe I'll share something from on stage.
It's pretty
but
cool.
Levi's
I
been
have
to
never been out of the
zero
country.
Zero countries. Yes!
It is pretty cool. I do want to leave at some point just to see the world.
Yeah.
But I believe we have
Do we one have more? One more question?
We do.
Which one of us played soccer growing up? Keep in mind, he's disabled.
I did play T-ball.
Who thinks Levi?
Who thinks I played soccer? Ooh, there's a few.
Who thinks Hudson? About half and half. Oh.
No, that's more for Levi. That's
soccer.
What?
Sorry. You know, I need to be nice to him. The answer is...
Both of us.
Both of us played soccer growing up. Did anyone get that right? Nobody did.
Good try. So
one thing we realized when we were looking for photos is there really aren't attractive soccer action photos anywhere in the world.
I noticed I had a lot of pictures with my tongue out. It was weird.
It's out in this one.
No, that's like...
pursed lips.
That's like that.
Yeah.
All right, do we have one more? Is that
I don't know if there's another one. Oh, yeah.
This
who is the Miracle Camp baby?
So who's been to Miracle Camp more, do you guys think? Who thinks it's Hudson?
Who thinks it's Levi?
We kind of gave it away. That was smart. That's smart.
What's the answer?
The answer is, in fact, me. I have not missed a summer at camp since fourth grade.
Is that 14 years?
That's a lot of years. I don't know the number off the top of my head.
It's a lot of years.
Love this place.
I have been to Miracle Camp, but just like three or four times.
But yeah, so we love this place. We're super excited to share this week with you. And to dive in, we're going to be talking about Jesus as our King. And so before we jump into that, Hudson, would you like to pray to start us off?
Yeah, let's pray, start off, calm our hearts before God here. Dear God, you are our King. I pray that you would help us this week to understand what that means. We don't have kings today in our world, and yet Scripture teaches us that Jesus is on the throne. And so I pray that you would help us to understand what this means and how it applies to our lives, Lord. And so I even asked for Levi and I now that you would guide us, Lord. Would you help everyone to be able to focus and pay attention, and would you be honored today? Keep us safe this week, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. So to start us off, I want you all to imagine with me just this scenario, okay? So I want you to close your eyes. Get ready to picture this. When I say the word king, what pops into your head? Just picture it. Just when I say the word king, what are the images? What are the people? Like, what does it look like? Just think about that. So, Hudson, what do you
think? In my head is a crown and a throne. I think a kingdom with a moat around it. I'm thinking like Lord of the Rings style. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Robin Hood, who's a fox, running around the streets inside, stealing money from people.
Yeah. So you guys can all open your eyes. I don't know about you, but I pictured much the same thing. So we hear the word king and often think of things like castles, thrones, swords, warriors wielding swords, fighting, and all these different things. And so it can sometimes be confusing. Something like that, exactly. What's the King of England. And so holding
a ball of gold.
Royal things. But it's like, so that can sometimes be confusing when we describe Jesus as king. What exactly do we mean by that?
Yeah, because we're not living in medieval times. Like, you're not in a kingdom with a king over you. Or Jesus doesn't have a throne or a castle somewhere that we go to like talk to him nowadays.
Yeah, and this isn't the only way that we describe Jesus. If you've heard any teachings before, there's been a lot of different ways that you've probably heard Jesus described. We often call him the Savior, talking to his saving us from the powers of sin and death. We talk about him as God, talking about his rule, his power, and his sovereignty. And then we also describe him as king, which implies that he rules over a kingdom and has a people. And this is very similar, in this way is similar back into medieval times, as a king would have an area that he had control over, and we'd have a people who would follow him, who would follow the rules and stuff he would declare.
Yeah, let's get back to like medieval times. Imagine with me, we're all in a kingdom together. We have a king, and we're following the king. We live in his territory. He protects us with his army. But our life, the quality of our life is going to depend on how good our king is. So if we have a good king who cares for us and has our best interests in mind, we're going to live a prosperous life, right? He's going to protect us, provide for us. If he's a bad king and is tyrannical or mean, takes advantage of us, we're probably going to live in poverty. We're going to have a pretty rough life. Like, think of Robin Hood, like I said earlier. He had to steal from the rich and give to the poor because the king wasn't caring for the poor.
Yeah, in those days, the character of your king would often determine the quality of your life.
So if Jesus is our king now, what does it practically mean to be a citizen of his kingdom?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. A lot of what we're diving into this week is, so to be a part of Christ's kingdom means that we submit to his rule and authority in everything. In the same way, as I mentioned earlier, that kings would set laws and things for their kingdom, Jesus has provided for us through Scripture the guidelines and laws of what living in his kingdom looks like.
So that sounds great and all. I like Lord of the Rings. But why would I want to follow Jesus? It sounds kind of restrictive if he's giving me all these rules. Like, Christianity seems to have a lot of, like, restrictions. That doesn't really sound very fun to me.
Yeah, well, the fact of the matter is that we all actually are a part of a kingdom. And so Paul says it this way in Romans 6:16, that don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. And what he's saying here is that we have a choice. We can either follow Jesus, be a part of his kingdom, or we can choose to follow the other kings of this world and go our own way and to follow those selfish kingdoms.
Okay, so everybody's following a king. I understand that. You're telling me that we should all follow Jesus, but what makes Jesus better than the other kings that I could follow?
Well, simply, he is the best king. He is the best king we could ever follow. He not only wants what's best for us, but he knows what's best for us, and he has given us the scriptures as a guide to protect us in our daily walk with him. And that's what we're going to dive into more this week. And so we've talked about Jesus as king. We've already made the argument that he's the best king, and so we're going to dive more into what kind of king he is. So what are his characteristics? What are his attributes? And for example, we'll start with one of the reasons that we can trust in Jesus' rule is because it didn't happen by chance. His coming to earth was foretold long before it ever happened, and it was known for hundreds and hundreds of years.
That's right. Jesus is the promised king, which is the theme of tonight. So if everyone would turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah is in the Old Testament. About halfway through your Bible, you can use the table of contents, no shame. About halfway through, one of the first, it is the first prophet in the Old Testament. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 9, starting in verse 6. And this is probably a familiar passage, but it's a passage that talks about Jesus before he came to earth. So once you're there, Isaiah chapter 9. Give you a second to flip there. Chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will do this. So you've probably heard this passage before. It's often used during Christmas time because it points towards Jesus. The cool thing is, it was written 700 years before Jesus was born. It's a cool thing about the Old Testament. There's a lot of prophecies about Jesus coming to earth hundreds of years before he came.
Yeah, it speaks to God's plan in everything. We've called him sovereign. He is sovereignly ruling over everything, and he knew all along what was going to happen. But what does the language in Isaiah 9 specifically have to do with Jesus as king?
Yes. Let's look back. So if you're with me here in verse 6, the first thing that we see is there's some key titles that are used for Jesus. So if you look with me, let's just read verse 6 again. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So we see Wonderful Counselor. That's the first title. And this speaks to just the beauty of the relationship that we have with God, that he cares for us, that he knows us, that he can guide us through his word and by his spirit. And that's wonderful to us. The second title, if you look there in verse 6, Mighty God. This speaks to the power and authority of our King, right? Because he's God, and he has power, and he's in authority. He's sovereign, like Levi said. I almost forgot his name. The third one is Everlasting Father. And this talks about two things. One, the word everlasting means it's forever. Back in the medieval times, your king would die after 80 years.
40.
40 years back in the medieval times, probably. Levi's going to die one day.
We all are.
But Jesus is eternal, right? So he's everlasting. And the second word, Father. He loves us, and this speaks of his goodness towards us, right? He knows us, he cares for us, he provides for us. And then the fourth one is Prince of Peace. And this speaks of God's authority, Prince, and then also of his mission to bring peace to the world. Right? So there's four titles. Then let's read verse 7 real quick. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And this speaks to God's righteous rule. So first we see this language that his government's going to increase. Okay, so his rule and authority is going to increase. So he came to earth 2,000 years ago, and his kingdom is going forth through us to the world, right? And then secondly, we see that he upholds it with justice and righteousness. So this again speaks to God's goodness. He's just. He's not going to do wrong towards us. And he's righteous. He's perfect. And then the third thing, and we see this again, this idea of everlasting, the phrasing there, from this time on and forever, Jesus will be on the throne forever. So we see from this passage in Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus, we see that he was prophesied to be king from his royal titles and a description of his righteous rule. And that's the king we're going to talk about this week. The good and powerful king who was foretold long before he came to earth and is now on the throne and will be on the throne forever. So would you join us this week as we explore that? Levi, would you pray to close us?
Yes. Let's all bow our heads.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.